our very own CCSG SJWM missionaries, my cousin Aaron Garcia.
Thank you, Primo. That's cousin in Spanish, guys. All right, hey, what's going on? My name is Aaron, and yeah, they're letting anyone teach here. I'm just joking. My wife and I, we are missionaries in Asia. We've been blessed to be able to do that for 7 years, investing in young men and young women's lives and watching them go on to plant churches in the unreached, some of the most remote parts of the world. And we're your missionaries. We're so thankful that you would support us, so thankful that you would open up your homes to greet us. You would throw baby showers for my wife. I mean, we've never known this type of love. This is such an amazing church. And I've just had, I think it's been 3 years that, you know, since we've made Saving Grace our home. And maybe you're a newbie too. And I just encourage you, come over to the Welcome Center. Right over here, there's like a cool little living room. We'll be hanging out over there. If this is like your first year, a lot of you guys, you know, you're getting plugged in with Saving Grace, and just come through and come talk to us. I also have prayer cards, email signups over there. You can get it on our email list. You can find out what are those Garcias doing in Asia, you know, and then, you know, monthly you'll get an update, what's going on, and you can pray. There's specific prayer requests we give out each month. And so, yeah, open your Bible to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And we're going to look through verses 11 to 14. Romans 13, 11 to 14. Now, you know, based upon last week's sermon, right, that, man, Joel did a great job, didn't he? He started off and he was going through that transition point in the book of Romans, where now all of a sudden, you know, instead of doctrine, now Paul was saying, hey, this is how we ought to live this out. This is how we ought to apply. This is the application part. And what an amazing 12, 1 and 2, right? In the light of the mercies of God, we ought to live the will of God. And now here in our text today, are we good? And now here in our text today, it's now in light of the time that we live in. In light of the time that we live in, what ought we to do? And he's going to give us 3 points. He's going to say, wake up, put off, put on. Wake up, put off, put on. If you're looking for points, it's revival, renounce, and recommit. Revival, renounce, recommit. And I'll read from verse 11 to 14. He says, and do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. First, he says, wake up. Wake up. He says, in verse 11, he says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. This he's referring to, and do this. Just previously, he talked about the Christian duty to love your neighbor. That's our debt to one another, guys. It's our debt to go out of our way, to go over and cross, you know, personal boundaries, right? To love people radically if you're a child of God today. Why? Because God is love. That's the debt that we have towards one another. That's what's bound on your heart, is to love each other. And he says, do this. Love urgently. Why? Knowing the time. Knowing the time that we live in. The word here for time, it's the word season. I like the way Phillips translates it. He says, I think you have realized the present time of high importance. Or another translation, knowing the strategic season. So it's not just season, but it's an opportune season. I think harvest. I think the last days that we're living in. And he says this, it's high time to awake out of sleep. Why? For our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Guys, our salvation is on its way. Christ is coming back. Our day of deliverance is at the door. Man, you thought this was great? This was the first fruits of the Spirit of God. You thought this was great? This was just the engagement. This was the down payment, if you will. Man, Christ is returning. And you kind of pick up the language here in chapter 14, verse 10. He says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the place where God is dishing out the rewards, right? The Bema seat judgment. If you've put your faith in Christ, we are now going to be receiving rewards and inheritance and set free from all the earthly wills that we've had to cope with, deal with. We're going to be set free. Romans chapter 8 says that we have received the first fruits of the Spirit. We've received the adoption and the redemption. But there's more to come in those things. Think about it. You experience redemption on earth, set free from your sin. In heaven, we're set free from this physical body that's breaking down. This old tent gets an upgrade. Set free, redemption, and also adoption. Yeah, we thought it was great being, you know, being given the right to be called sons and daughters of God. Man, what's it going to be like when Papa calls us near and gives out the inheritance? Do you groan for that day? Do you in Romans chapter 8 think, man, there's nothing that I can face today that can compare with that glory that is to be revealed? Guys, if you have this hope, it's purifying you even now. We don't know what we're going to look like, 1 John chapter 3 says, but man, when we see him, we will be made like him. Guys, the salvation that we first believed in, it's coming. It's nearer. It's at the door. It's high time. It's time to wake up, he says. Time to wake up, he says. And notice how much time, how much emphasis he makes on time. That it is high time, time to wake up. Salvation is nearer than we first believed. Verse 12, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. It's time to wake up. Arise out of sleep, he says. And you can make a case that the grammar here, he's saying, we need to wake up. Paul, you need to wake up. Yeah. Romans, you need to wake up. Yeah. Church, we need to wake up. Awake from what? Awake from sleep. Rise from your sleep. Now, he uses a metaphor here. He uses it other places too, Paul. He uses the metaphor for talking about spiritual, inactive lifestyles. Ugh. Guys, it's a dangerous thing to wake up someone from their sleep, right? They say if you see somebody sleepwalking and you might get a bow or you might get something, right? Like, it's a dangerous thing to wake up someone who's sleepwalking. But wouldn't we want to know? I mean, think about the harm that could come to us, right? I know people that can make a sandwich in their sleep, drive in their sleep, walk in their sleep, talk in their sleep. Is it possible for a Christian to be asleep? No doubt about it. And if it was possible for Paul, it's possible for yours truly. It's possible for us as a church. We need to wake up. Rise from our inactive, idle, sluggish, unresponsive, apathetic Christianity. Ouch. Rise. Wake up. Wake up from our sleep. The church and the people of God have historically been sleepy. I mean, that's just... We have sleep apnea, right? It's like, man, we fall asleep at the wrong time and when we should, and we're all mixed up. But guys, are you in that place today? God, if you're willing, wake me up, Lord. Wake me up. I'm tired of sleeping. Are you sleeping? God can wake you up by his Spirit today. Are you willing? Here's some signs for a sleepy saint. And these are just things came up with. They're not... Signs for a sleepy saint. So don't take, unresponsive, When's the last time you heard God's call to you? When's the last time we've responded to the call of God? Now, I understand. It's a weekly battle for me to get in the Word. Weekly. Every week, I'm like, man, I'm not getting it. It's not speaking. It's not hitting home. Is there something wrong with me? No doubt it, there's something wrong with me. Why? Because this is the living Word of God. I need this life injected in my heart. I'm inactive. I need revival. There's nothing wrong with this Word, guys. Amen? There's nothing wrong with this Word. I need to be awakened up. This is God's living Word. When's the last time we've responded to the call of God? It's time we need revival. I need revival. You need revival. God, speak through your Word. Are you inactive? Inactive. Rate your involvement in God's work. What does it look like serving the Lord in your life? What does that look like? What if everyone served as much as I did? What if everyone preached the gospel, loved his neighbor, gave to the poor, shared, tithed, prayed? What if everyone followed you? Ouch. Would anything get done around here? What would the church look like? Guys, we need to awake. Wake me up, Lord. I've been inactive too long. COVID locked me down, and COVID locked my walk with God down as well. I've been busy baking sourdough and building puzzles and all this stuff, and like, man, where I've been at, Lord? There was so much gifted time for us. Wake up. Have we been idle? Idle. Are you growing closer to Christ? Are we moving forward in our faith? Am I conforming more to Christ, or am I looking more and more like this world? Are you apathetic? Do you care? Do you care? Do you care about the needs? Do you care about the condition of your own heart? Do you care about sinners going to hell without Christ? Spurgeon said this. He said, "Oh, my brothers and sisters in Christ, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stop and not madly destroying themselves. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go unwarned and unprayed for." Guys, this is the time. God, awaken me. God has historically done this for people, all generations, that have cried out with a willing heart. Well, I'm just a mother. Well, Deborah was a mother too. Remember that? Deborah, in her generation, seeing there was no place safe in Israel. Everyone was doing the things that were only pleasing to themselves. They were doing what was right in their own eyes in the lifetime of Judges, right? And Deborah, in chapter 5, it says, "I, Deborah, a mother, arose." She arose. What did she do? She awoke a lethargic Barak. "Hey, Barak, come on. God will give you victory. God will give you the spoil. Get up, Barak." And she inspired a generation. Deborah was used. A mother in Israel awoke the leaders of God. What about the prophet Haggai? Haggai has one of the shortest, mysterious little ministries that you'll see in the Old Testament. See, it's after Israel comes out of captivity. Haggai comes to the scene. He has a four-month ministry. He shows up to the scene, and all these zealous patriots that came back to Israel, yeah! What happened? They say, "We're going to rebuild the temple." And what happens? Suddenly, their motives become mixed. Haggai comes to the scene. He says, "Man, the temple is in ruins, but you guys have these awesome, dope houses with all this wood and all this stuff. What's going on? The work of God is left incomplete, but you guys are sitting fat and nice in your houses?" He says, "Consider your ways." And what happens? A revival breaks out. A revival breaks out. The people were awakened. The nation was awakened. And after a 16-year delay, the work on the temple resumed. God is always awaken the willing. Are you willing? Don't be a Jonah. Where was Jonah? Jonah was at the bottom of the boat. Remember that? hey, man, the sailors, right? Why was Jonah in a boat? Man, God was calling him. God was telling him, go reach Assyria. Go reach Nineveh. And what happens? Jonah just basically says, nah, I could care less about them. He was only focused on himself, only cared about his own, and he cared nothing about the call of God. Instead, the sailors come down in the boat during the storm, and they say, Jonah, where are you at? Jonah's buried in the deep of the boat, asleep. Are we willing? Are we willing to awake? Let the light of day awaken you today. Christ's return could happen at any time, and that day is one day closer. Since we are set, since we're saved, if you're a Christ, if you're a children, daughter, if you're in Christ today, you're saved. Salvation, man, let's work until the whistle blows. Let's work until the trump sounds. You're so close, guys. Let's possess all the hope and all the joy that our salvation brings. And let's take as many opportunities as we can to stir up good in one another. Hebrews 10, verse 24, 25. We ought to awake one another, right? Stir one another up. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. So there's an urgency with Christ's return, right? What? The urgency is to stir one another up. Wake each other up. Flick me if I'm nodding off, right? You got to come beside me. I got to come beside you. But I can't do that. We can't do that if you're not here, if you're not engaged. You understand? If you're caught up in Satan's lullaby, you're going to be drifting. But come, re-engage. The church is relaunching. So many places where you can step up and rise and be used. Like Pastor Joel was saying, you have a gift. Don't be caught sleeping at his return. Remember the bridesmaids? What happened with them, right? When the groom returned, oh, we don't got any light and oil and oil. Caught sleeping. What about the stewards, right, that had those talents and do business until I come, the master says. Master shows up. What happened? They didn't even invest what they had in the kingdom of God. Not so with Calvary Chapel Saving Grace. It's time for us to awake. And secondly, he says, put off. So revival, renounce is point number two. Renounce. He gives a strong language here. He says in verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, and not in strife and in envy. He says put off now. That word is a strong word for casting off, renouncing. It's the same word used in Ephesians 5:11 where it says, break fellowship with those deeds of darkness. Delete their phone numbers, right? You're not calling me anymore. We're not hanging out. We're not cool. We're not homeboys anymore. I've changed. That's the old me now. Put those things off. Every time this word is used in the book of John, it's the word excommunicate. Kick them out of the community. Nothing to do with them, right? These deeds of darkness. And why is it important? Why is it important? Because those deeds were done in darkness, ignorance, before you knew Christ, right? He says here, therefore, let us cast off the deeds of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day. That word properly is the word honestly. Honestly, why? Because Jesus is the light. Jesus is the truth. And since he came into my life, he changed me. I can't go back to the old way. The old way wants to creep back, right? The old way wants to somehow break its way in. Satan wants a foothold to where he can build a stronghold in my life. But close that off. He's going to say later on, make no provision for the flesh. Give it no forethought. Cast off the deeds of darkness. It's the same word here used in Hebrews 12:1. Let us throw off every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us, let us run with endurance the race set before us. The church needs to walk in the light, come out of their former days of darkness, because we know the Lord Jesus. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4 says this: we have spent enough of our past life doing the will of the Gentiles. So much time wasted in that old life. Don't let it creep back in now. Why? Because we walk in light. We walk in truth. So he gives these six deeds of darkness, right? And they're kind of coupled together, right? First, revelry, drunkenness. Revelry, drunkenness. Revelry was the worship of the ancient god Bacchus. Who's Bacchus? Well, I don't know, but his worshipers used to parade the streets at night, drunk, loud as ever, singing, worshiping their god, and they would make their procession all the way to the temple where they would have immoral, sinful sexual acts. Yeah, cut that off. But where do we see it in our life, right? Man, drunkenness is next, right? Intoxication. Drunkenness leads to all sorts of stuff, right? Isn't it interesting, in this COVID season, the alcohol sales have skyrocketed. Past Christmas, past all the major holidays we celebrate, COVID season's the now time to sell your whatever, right? All this alcohol sales through the roof, and also domestic violence. You think those two are related? Absolutely. Absolutely. I could ask for a show of hands. How many homes have been wrecked by intoxicated fathers? Intoxicated, right? No doubt. And I'm one. Why? Why do we bring that up? Cast it off. Jesus said, when he comes back, when the Son of Man is coming, it will be like the days of Noah. Eating, drinking, and getting married, right? We're living in the last days. Let's look at those next two. He says, lewdness and lust. Lewdness and lust. Lewdness is sexual immorality. It means unlawfully going to bed with someone that is not your spouse. Cut off lewdness. Excommunicate lust. Lust, that shameful passions buried deep within. Cut those things off. In fact, 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and I'll read it for you guys. 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, flee youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee those lusts. And what? And now pursue the things of God. With who? Pursue righteousness, faith, love with those who call on the name of the Lord. Guys, if you need help breaking sin, if you need help with an addiction to pornography, come to a brother, come to a sister. If you need help checking something, run with us. Run with us. Let's run to the Lord together. If you're going to try to beat this up by yourself, I mean, it's difficult. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says this: beloved, I beg you as sojourners, pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You're in a battle. You're in a fight. There's a war. There's javelins going about your head. There's fiery darts coming at you, right? Guys, we can help. We're the body of Christ. Seek out counsel. Seek out a pastor. Seek out help. Don't let Satan destroy you. Don't let him rip off your life. And lastly, you thought you were good. Until I thought I was good. Until strife and envy popped up. Right? Strife and envy. Strife means contentious debate, wrangling with somebody. Getting into a beef at church, right? Getting into a beef with your neighbor. Getting into some heated contention, division, dissension. And he says envy. The word envy means jealousy, but it's also the word for rivalry. Rivalry. You feel like you're competing with the neighbor next door. You can feel like you're competing with those people you see on Instagram and stuff. And guys, it's not real. The grass is always greener above the septic tank, right? The grass is always greener, but you don't know what's going on underneath the surface, all right? You don't need to envy nobody. Be content with where you are at with the Lord. and pursue Christ to a deeper way. Awake. So he says, put off these things. Walk properly. Why? Because let's compare those deeds with darkness to Christ now. Christ, man, he was not uncontrollable, right? He was self-controlled. He was pure. Jesus is the example for us in walking in a godly way. And so I can't go back to that former ignorance. I got to put on light now. And our fellowship with light is so critical as Christians. Our fellowship with light is so important. Why? Because God is light. And if we're fellowshipping with him, guys, things are going to pop up in your life. The light of his, of who he is, starts pointing out, starts bringing out things to the surface in my life. And I'm so glad 1 John chapter 1 says this, confess it. He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He wants the closer that we draw near to him for more things to come up and more things to be removed. Cast off. Faithful is he to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess it now to Christ. Let him cleanse you. Right? So then he says, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Be fully committed now. Revival takes place when God's people renounce their evil deeds and recommit now. Recommit. Be passionately invested, sold out, committing to follow Christ. Put him on. Put him on now. You're not going to fight. You're not going to kill sin by, oh, I'm just going to stop thinking about it. I find that the more I think about things, the more I'm prone to think about things, right? Or stop thinking about it and I think about it more, right? Put on the Lord Jesus. This is where the power comes from. Put him on. Now, when it says put on, it means take in his principles. Imitate his example. Copy him. Imitate him. Be like him. Put him on. I like how some of the other translations put this. They say, let the Lord Jesus take control of you. Let us be Christ's men from head to foot. Be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on. And why should I? Why should you deny yourself, put on Christ? Because he is Lord. Did you see that there? He says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus. Put on the Lord. Guys, at the heart of every sin issue is a lordship issue. And the root of every marital issue is a lordship issue. Well, you know, they got to do that, and they got to, your problem's not with him or her or them or the world or the devil. Your problem is with the Lord. Put him on. Put on the Lord Jesus. Imitate him. He is self-controlled. He is pure. He is peaceable. He is humble. He's undefiled. Follow him. Cling to him. Whenever I get caught up in an issue, it's usually because I've departed. I've left the Lord for some reason. I've wandered off the path and somewhere I put on the old self, the old man, did my own things, my own ways, and now I'm stuck with the results. God's plan for you is that you would live out his will in your life. Choose to submit to the Lord. It's that simple. John Wesley said this. He said these very true words. He said, give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not a straw whether they be a clergyman or a layman. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on this earth. He's saying, with committed Christians, the Lord will shake hell and build his kingdom on this earth. Do we believe that? Church, you are the sleeping giant. The sleeping giant. Man, so powerful. in the Lord. We need to awake to this. The world needs Jesus Christ. The world just needs Jesus. They got no shepherd. They got no Lord. And they're enslaved to the same old things, meaningless little lives. They need us to be the church and to reach them. Put on the Lord Jesus and go be a witness in these last days. Time is running out. We must bring Jesus to our neighbors, and we must take him to the nations. These passages in Romans 13, they were used so powerfully in a man named Augustine's life. Augustine, in the summer of 386, he's in the garden of his friend, and he's weeping under a fig tree. Augustine came from a Christian background, godly heritage. He was a prodigal. His mother spent so much time praying and laboring over his soul. But this young man became consumed with pursuits of academia, academic pursuits. He wanted to climb. And he got caught up in his lust. He was in immoral relationships. And he's lost. And one day, as he was seeking to understand the root of evil in this world, the Holy Spirit took this question and made him evaluate his own heart. The problem with evil is the problem of man's heart, he concluded. And he came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit for the first time, dealing with his sin, dealing with his shame. And he began to say, how can I loosen myself from this chain that holds me? So he's weeping under a fig tree. Could you imagine your friend just came over and starts crying in your garden? You're like, man, I don't know what to do. I'm not trained for this. Augustine's weeping. He knew his life of sin and rebellion against God left him empty and feeling dead. And then suddenly he heard a voice speaking to him. He took it as the voice of God saying, cast thyself upon him. Fear not. He will not withdraw himself to let thee fall. He will receive thee and heal thee. The Holy Spirit calling out to him. And he's weeping all the more. And suddenly he hears a neighbor, the kids singing outside. And they're saying, take up and read. Take up and read. He took it as the Lord telling him to take up and read, as you would. He went, found a scroll, and read. He was seized. He was silent. And he read this very passage from the scroll of the book of Romans. Immediately he knew what he was supposed to do. Put off sin. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, suddenly he had peace. Suddenly, because of Christ, because of the word of God that day, all of his doubt melted away. And the power of God's word changed this man, awoke him, revitalized him. Suddenly he was ready to surrender his all to Christ. And so a soul was won to heaven, and one of the most brilliant minds for the church. He developed some of the most fundamental theological ideas. His work becomes the foundation of Thomas Aquinas, Martin Luther, John Calvin. This dude was radical. And all it took was Jesus breaking the chain. All it took was Jesus' power in his life to renounce sin and to recommit his life to Christ. Lastly, because we only have 45 minutes left. Just joking. Verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now, let's be straight. If you're putting on the Lord, then it should be easy to say no to sin. What do you mean by that? That when you say yes to Jesus, it's easy to say no to your flesh. Say yes to Jesus. Be committed, be crucified, be clothed, and be living like Jesus, and say no to sin and resist sin. Be committed to Jesus. Be satisfied in him. Be nourished in his word. Treasure Jesus more than the pleasures of this world. Be passionate. Pursue Jesus. And you won't have any space in your life for anything contrary. If you say yes, it's easier to say no. If you're committed to your spouse, you're committed to your wife, it doesn't matter who walks in front of you. I know I got the most beautiful woman in the world, and she's pregnant, and we're having a baby, right? You're committed. You've said yes. You're committed in your heart. It's easy to say no. Don't take my words for it. Darkness has no place where there's light. Galatians says something similar. Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things which you wish. My friends, Christ has broken the chain. He's died to free us. He's set us free from the captivity of sin and shame, and now let us have that victorious Christian life over sin. Let us go on now. Make no provision for the flesh. What does it mean? Have no forethought. Don't be thinking about, don't entertain the thought. Cast it off. Cut it off. The Greek suggests, he says, stop making provision for the flesh. I like how Phillips translates this. He says, give no chance for the flesh to have its fling. Give no chance for the flesh to have its fling. Give no forethought. This involves planning out to do something, premeditated sin. Why? Because you're in the light now. Now when I sin, I'm in the light. That means I didn't all of a sudden go, oh, I didn't know. No, I knew. I knew what I was doing. I knew why I drove that direction. I know why I got those phone numbers in my phone. I know why my phone doesn't have, it has a cleared out history. I know these things. We're making room. You understand? Don't make any more room. Don't entertain those thoughts. Cut them off. Why? Put on Christ. Put on Christ. Don't stop thinking that way. You ever talk to someone coming out of a homosexual struggle? Oh, just stop thinking that way. That's very difficult for someone. Put on the Lord Jesus. Be saturated. Be nourished. Be satisfied in Christ. Man, it's like God gives you that victory. He gives you that freedom to walk and not be drawn in anymore. No more going to the old life. Why? Because Christ has given me that power to live a victorious life. Why is the flesh so consistent? Because it's your old way of living. It's my old way of living. My flesh remembers the taste, remembers the sound, remembers, has such a sin memory bank, if you will. I still know things that I was doing 10 years ago. And it seems like if I'm caught up in a weak moment, if I'm caught sleeping, pretty soon I'm going to be caught slipping, right? Like David was in that whole mix, right? The battle didn't stop. The battle's going on in Israel. The battle was still going on against his soul. And suddenly he just says, oh, I'm going to forego this season of fighting. And we can't do that, guys. We can't do that. Why? 2 Peter 2:11 again. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. There's a battle going on. Put on Christ. Put on your armor. Don't go home without being clothed with Christ's provision. He is your armor of light. He is your, right? He wants to clothe you. He wants to be closer to you than your very shirt, right? He wants to go out and be your armor. So, there is hope. The Lord has broken, the Lord will break those old habits. And the fire of lust will go out in your heart. We need to stop feeding wood for it to burn, though. Don't entertain those thoughts. Make no provision for the flesh. Satan wants a foothold to gain a stronghold, to put a stronghold in your life. Don't give him that foothold. The key is to cut off the thought. So instead of feeding the fires of the flesh, your fire for God will start to roar. and it will burn deep in your soul. Laziness becomes zealous passion for the kingdom of God. Idle time becomes redeemed time. Worry becomes prayer and boldness to preach the gospel. God will fill your life, and he will use you for his work and his purposes for his own glory. Guys, we need to wake up. We need this. We need this. They needed it in the judges' time. They needed it in, you know, in Haggai's time. And we need it in our COVID time. Come out from this lockdown. My walk with God. Guys, we're in a relaunching phase here at the church. And what an amazing time to just kind of step in. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going around being sin sniffers, who's involved, who's not. I mean, but you can tell. Right? There's so many of us. We are the sleeping giant in the world today. Be provoked today. I hope that today that the word of God was used to poke the bear within you or something, right? Wake up. And that we would be used in these last days. Guys, salvation is on its way. I mean, are the things that I'm worried about worth it if Christ comes back tomorrow? If he snatches me up going home and I'm like, man, so many more things I could have done for the Lord. I don't want those regrets. Guys, for you that are laboring, encourage, stir it up in a brother or a sister. And for you that you are laboring, guys, don't grow weary in doing good. For if we do not grow weary, we will reap a harvest. Do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Guys, don't grow weary. The harvest is plentiful, guys. Yeah, laborers are few, but the harvest is plentiful, guys. If you're stepping out, man, you are reaping right now. All around the world right now, God is using this kind of weird, funky season that we're in. And yeah, sure, you know, the things that we could talk about, we could despair about what we see on the news. But guys, God is awakening the people at the masses. And so too with us. We want that revival. Let us renounce. Renounce. What was it like for Matthew to walk away from his tax table? What was it like for the city of Ephesus to see the flames go up as they were burning the books of witchcraft? Revival started when the people renounced. They cut those things off. They ditched that old lifestyle. They said, no more being pulled down. And if you've been pulled down, man, run. Get up. The righteous man gets back up. Run. And be recommitted to Christ. Put him on. Imitate him to this dying world. Amen? Guys, we want to pray. And that's the cue for the worship team, as I've been told. Guys, if that's you today, if you're ready to rise up, you're ready to wake up. Guys, it was true for Paul. It's true of me. Guys, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to stand. It's not about who stands, who doesn't stand. This is about me and the Lord. And maybe you're like Deborah. You're saying enough is enough. I don't want my city ripped off. I don't want my community ripped off anymore. I, a mother in Israel, am awaking. I'm arising today. If that's you, I encourage you. Amen. Amen, sister. Amen. Amen, guys. Thank you, guys. Amen. Lord, here we are. Lord, here we are, your church. Ready, willing. God, thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. Lord, we want to be used for your glory, God, but it's impossible apart from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would fall afresh upon us today. You would fill us anew again, we pray. Thank you for encouraging us, Lord. Thank you for strengthening us today by your word. Lord, we need that. We need that victory to come through again. Help us to abide to the power source today. Help us to cling to Jesus today. Holy Spirit, we look forward to anticipating. We're anticipating, Lord, your arrival. We're anticipating all the things that you have for us, Lord. God, use us in this place. Lord, we your people, Lord, are willing, God, to renounce all of our wicked ways, all of our things, God. And we pray that you would heal our land, Lord. We pray that you would do a great work in our city. You would do a great work in our community, God. You would bring souls to Christ through awakening this body, Lord. And we pray that what's happening right now personally, Lord, would take place publicly out there, Lord. In our church, God, we pray for an awakening, a stirring, Lord, like Joel said, Lord, that we would all take part in making disciples, Lord. And God, for our world today, Lord, woe is us if we don't preach the gospel, Lord. Help us, Lord. Give us that boldness, Lord, to go where we've never gone before, Lord, and to step out and to share our faith, Lord, because there might be someone that is as desperate as we once were, Lord. We first believed, and that hour, Lord, of your salvation is coming, God. Strengthen us, God. Help us for this last lap of the race, Lord. Many of us, we don't know the time, how much time we have left, Lord. Let us be urgent, Lord, in these last days. I pray for the future of Saving Grace. I pray that you would continue, Lord, to awaken us each and every day. Revive us, O Lord, in your word. And as we pray, O God, thank you, God, for coming and falling upon this place, Lord. We love you, Jesus. And it's for your glory we pray. Amen.